You know how opposites attract?
Yeah,
until it comes to money. This week's listener says she's a saver, he's a spender, and every time they try to get their finances on track, they end up cancelling each other out. At this point, not only is their money plan out the window, they're sabotaging each other so much, they're going backwards. So how do you get two totally different money personalities on the same page so that not only does the money do better, but frankly, the bickering stops too? Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week, people working in the money world answer your questions. Get the answers you need right now. Making Sense has partnered up with EnableMe to get you the strategies for reaching financial freedom faster. Head to their website to learn more. Visit enable.me today. All right, we've got our fave back with us, Katie Wesney, Head Strategic Coach from EnableMe. Are you ready for this letter?
I'm really excited.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a really good one. All right, here we go. Hi, Frances. I've been trying and mostly failing to get my money act together for years now. Every January, I make a plan, save more, finally start investing properly, cut back on the dumb stuff. By March, it's all out the window. I know what I should be doing, but I can't seem to stick with it. Part of the problem is my partner and I are total opposites with money. I'm the let's plan for the future type. They're the life's short, let's enjoy it. We end up cancelling each other out. I feel like the bad guy when I bring up savings, and then I go and splurge out of frustration. How do we stop working against each other and actually make progress? I feel like we're speaking different languages when it comes to money, and it's wearing me down. Thanks. I feel like this is so common. Why do we do this to ourselves? Savers and spenders.
They're like magnets.
Driving each other crazy.
I think it's like kind of cute at the beginning, less so as the years took on. And I think when you start arguing around money, it's actually never about money. Generally, it's about trust, values, security often. So that's interesting to unpack as well in terms of that friction around money and personality. And I always challenge my clients in terms of we're not opponents. We're actually on the same team. So let's get clear on that joint vision, because for the vast majority of people, they have the same goals. We just need to understand then how do we use the nuances of different personalities to make sure that we do better together and we can live together and not break up. Because again, if it's just money, that's the friction we can fix, and breaking up, that is napalm to your finances. It really is.
Well, exactly. Because I feel like so many people struggle to even start having the conversation, never mind get into the details of it. Because as soon as money gets brought up, it can be this real, everyone goes tense, and it just turns into something. There's a lot of tension and a lot of unspoken but very clear blame right from the get-go. How do you even start those conversations, do you think?
You start with a vision. What do you want to achieve as a family? Get clear on that, put numbers around it and time frames. And I think if you have trouble articulating that, sometimes it's useful to introduce a third party to kind of get you talking the same language. You know, I've been at EnableMe for a very long time now, and I never forget this beautiful couple that I work with. And they sailed into my office about 3 months and they said to me, "We're rebranding you, Katie." And I was like, "How are we rebranding me?" And they're like, "No, we're not calling you EnableMe anymore. We're calling you Save My Marriage, because now we don't blame each other. We blame you when things go wrong." And I'm like, how did we land here? Because at its base level, no one wants to be accountable to their partner around money. No one does. So again, we're accountable to the plan and the goals, and that's the strategy piece that we execute on together. I think there's great benefits to lots of different personality types. And so when you're trying to figure out who you are, so a shopper, who I relate to, there's no judgment there, derives emotional satisfaction from shopping. Saver, they derive emotional satisfaction from saving. And a plodder is somewhere in the middle. So doesn't like spending money, but not super great at saving either. So understanding who you are is important in crafting what strategy is going to work for you. Because what I know to be true in terms of that financial success formula, 80% comes down to behavior and doing what needs to be done. 20% comes down to strategy. And we want you to have the ability to marry the two.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the personality part of it, people really underrate it, but it's so important. And as soon as I saw this come up where they said, you know, we're pulling in different directions, it's getting really frustrating, it made me think instantly of a conversation you and I had off mic where you talked about, is it Gretchen Rubin's money personalities?
Yeah.
Okay. So you use that in your work. Run me through that.
Yeah. So that is basically your tendency around rules. Because when you have a plan, there are expectations. There's kind of internal expectations and external expectations. So for me, I'm more of an upholder. So I will, if I set myself a goal, I'm quite serious about that and I will do it. But if somebody else sets me a goal, I'm quite a nerd. I'm sure people have gleaned this already. But in saying that, being an upholder, I quite like rules. So maybe I can be a little bit rigid. I don't understand why people don't follow said rules if there is a rule. So that's my learning piece in being an upholder. Vast majority of people are obligers. So they do better with external expectations. So they do better working with somebody else. And I think everyone can relate to you're part of a team at school, I don't know, a running team. You show up, you're so committed, you run three times a week, you leave school and you cannot make yourself run for love nor money. And again, vast majority of us work better when we work with somebody else. So that's good to know.
Not so fun fact, when you take on a 30-year mortgage, you'll probably pay more than double what you originally borrowed because of the cost of interest. The team at EnableMe specialize in taking charge of your money and growing your wealth, including how to get rid of your mortgage faster. Book a consultation with an EnableMe financial advisor today by visiting enable.me.
Next most common subset are questioners. So my husband is a questioner. So
an upholder and a questioner. I don't know what a questioner is yet, but this sounds like an interesting match.
Yeah, there can be niggles. So a questioner, you can never tell them what to do. They will only do what they need to do if they believe it. So they like to do lots of research, and if it speaks to them, they will do it. So they're more, you can't make them do anything. They need to believe it to be true. So you give them lots of information and then they land. Ironically, they don't like to be questioned though because they've done all the research and they're right. So that again, understanding when you're working.
Am I also married to a questioner?
Potentially. Mm. Potentially. I told him all of this originally, Francis, and he's like, why? I rest my case, Your Honour. And then there's the rebel. And I work with lots of rebels. And I really love a rebel, but they can't be told. They will not be told what to do. If you tell them what to do, they will do the exact opposite. And you can think of lots of rebels. But innately, they really want to do the right thing. They just want options and flexibility. So again, understanding that is how you ensure that plan design speaks to the individual parties in effect.
I'm having a moment of realization that I might be a rebel.
I actually think you might be.
Yeah.
I think you actually might be.
As soon as I get told I need to do something, I do the literal opposite, and I've caught myself doing it so many times. Why am I like this? What's wrong with me?
But I think that's also why we get on so well, because we love to natter.
We do.
But also, I think I love the self-efficacy of a rebel. I think that's such a beautiful trait that you have.
Bless you for saying it so nicely. You're a born diplomat.
I actually am. But with my rebels, they like to have options, but they want to understand the consequences of different options. Mm-hmm. So they steer the ship. And innately, you dearly want to do the right thing. You really do. So you will pick the path that suits you in terms of strategy.
I can't let my husband watch this episode. I really can't. That's hilarious. Okay. So you've done a really great job there of laying out the sort of pros and cons of each personality type. when you're dealing with relationships of people trying to work together and make things work for sometimes very different personalities there, I mean, what you've laid out there are very strong differences. And I can imagine trying to pull two people in the same direction.
I love it though. I love it because everyone's different, and how boring would life be? And that's the behavioral economics piece of what we do, in terms of innately we're illogical. We generally want the same things, but how do we make it easier for you to do the right thing, to remove friction? And often that comes down to systems as well. So we automate as much as we can. We make it easier for the default position to be success, not failure, i.e. not using credit cards, you know, automating that daily spend, etc. That really does help in terms of systems. And then we make sure the goals speak to the individuals. And again, you might think being a saver, you're a sitter for making progress. Not necessarily true, Francis, because being a saver, you might be good at amassing cash, but you're not very good at growing it in terms of taking risk. Versus a shopper, it's like, lean in, I'm up for it. And I think that's important to understand as well, because with a shopper, they need to have goals that are sexy enough and motivating enough for them to try harder. And they love to see visibility around progress. So knowing that, how do you make sure you design that plan? Or again, we work together, we're rowing in the same direction. And again, you generally have the same hopes and dreams. If we don't, they're more jarring consultations with somebody like myself, as you can imagine. But generally speaking, those hopes and dreams are the same. It's like, well, how do we use the strengths of each other to make sure that we row faster together, in essence? And being graceful around progress, because in March, maybe you've set some resolutions in January. In March, when the wheels start to wiggle a little bit, that's okay, because we're not doing flash in the pan strategies. We're in it for the long term, and we understand, we learn, and then we tweak. Because as you know, no financial strategy or plan set in stone. If it was, it becomes irrelevant. So I think understanding thyself, the strengths, the weaknesses, we understand that as we craft that plan together to make sure that together you make the financial progress you deserve.
I love that. So basically it's getting into, what do we want out of life together? Finding those shared goals and then working backwards to be like, okay, so now that we've got the goal, what are we willing to do to get there? And once you've got the goal together, it's so much easier to set up those financial automations, hopefully, but the strategies, the systems to keep you on track.
Yep, we track that we're moving forward together, and blips happen. That's okay. You're here to support each other in terms of course correction. And there's nothing more satisfying than watching couples just boss their goals together and live a good life along the way. Remove friction.
And they talk about feeling like they're cancelling each other out a bit at the moment. And I think you're spot on that once you've got the goal, it's so much easier to stay on track with the systems. Are there any other systems that can particularly help in terms of not cancelling each other out? Like, does it help more or less to have joint money, separate money, sort of no questions asked, a little bit of spending money? Do little things like that help?
You do better when you join forces. There's that joint accountability. But I love the grace of also having balanced that out with your own money in terms of autonomy. No one's judging anyone. It is what it is. I think that's really protective for a relationship as well. So again, life is about balance and what is the right thing for you and your family going forward. You're dead right. And ensuring that both people have buy-in in terms of goals, I think that is essential in terms of making this work or not.
You're not. I love that.
Yeah. So, and again, where there's lots of spice initially, might be a upholder who is a saver versus a rebel shopper. Can you imagine? There are
explosive
fireworks.
Oh my Lord.
So when I see couples like that, the upholder has to cool their jets in terms of the rules that they are dictating and think about options. I think that's a key message. And the rebel keep yourself accountable and make sure that you're aligning with your higher self, because all my rebels like yourself have amazing values, and you anchor yourself back to your values, which is generally, I want to protect this relationship. My partner's super precious. If you have kids, they're precious. That helps you stick to the goal and the strategy.
Also, I feel like just knowing yourself, I have literally sometimes caught myself and been like, am I just not doing this because I was literally told to?
Not myself. Really hard. Really, really hard.
Do I actually have a problem with doing this, or is it just that someone told me to and now I don't want to?
And I am a people pleaser innately, which has not served me in life. But I think that there's no wrong or right answer. It's just who you are. And there are strengths and beauties in all of this. It's just how do you work together with somebody to ensure that you are maximized and you're living your best version of a life? Because that's what all this is about, Frances, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to go and read the Gretchen Rubin stuff now as well. I feel like I want to dig more into this. It sounds really interesting.
It's fascinating.
Thank you so much, Katie Wesney from Enable Me. Now, if you have more questions about this, anything else to do with money, send them through to us and we will rip into it for you. ask@francescook.co.nz. We'll keep you anonymous. That email is also in the show description, so you don't even have to worry about spelling mistakes or anything like that. And hit subscribe to Making Sense on your way out. Until next time, have a great day. Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.